was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind.
I'll be here.
I'll be with you.
Step by, step by. Praise God. Are you a witness this morning? I say, are you a witness this morning? Father God, we thank you. We praise you and we honor you. Hallelujah. For making us a witness. For causing us to be a witness to your goodness. A witness. Like the late Pastor Timothy Wright say, a witness for the Lord. I don't know what you're going through this morning. And really, realistically speaking, it doesn't matter. If you purpose in your heart, if you know in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he'll make you a witness to his goodness. He will make you a
Yeah.
I'm a witness. Well, praise God. What you a witness to? What are you a witness to? How about being a witness to the power of God?
Everything is moving down. There is power, power, wonder word.
Emotional needs have not been met. Many of their emotional problems are a direct result of those unmet needs. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, many of your people are angry and they have a root of bitterness. But this morning, I stand in the gap for those people. And I confess that anger and that bitterness as sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to remove anger from the heart ask you to heal the deep hurt. Because these people are so hurt, deeply wounded, and they keep perpetuating it over and over. And they base this on the losses of their life. They base this due to their own unmet needs, unresolved issues. Lord God, help them today. Help them to choose to see truth. Help them to choose to forgive the persons that they hold in this bitterness against. They hold in these lies against somebody else, supposedly that overlooked or neglected their emotional needs, many of them as a child. I ask you to loose them, release them from the bondage of Satan. I ask you to help them see that they've been trying to get these needs met through a man or through a woman. I ask you to help them to look into their own hearts and see that they need to ask you for forgiveness for their own sin, that they have reacted toward other people when their own needs were not met. Lord God, help them to realize their anger and their bitterness from their own past sins and their own past transgressions and iniquities have caused them to overreact time and time again. Help them, Lord Jesus, learn how to receive love when it comes to them. Help them, Lord Jesus, to cease from striving and instead enter into your rest. Lord Jesus, by the power of your own Holy Spirit, impart to them the ability to comprehend your great love and be healthy, healthy relationships into their life so that they can begin to receive and give unconditional love freely. I ask you to do these things by the power of your own Holy Spirit. I ask you to help your people this morning. Lord God, as long as that pain remains, they will continue giving sinful responses to issues that are hidden. They will continue to have outbursts of anger year after year because the pain of the unmet needs is like a toothache. It keeps intensifying and it keeps surfacing. Lord God, I ask you to help them unbury that pain. I ask you, God, only you can do it. Only you can take that hard, stony heart that triggers them time and time again from their past. Lord God, your word says, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Father God, you helped King David. I know you can help these people. I'm praying for this morning. David said, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Built up anger. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name this morning, Father God. I thank you. I want about 8 people to put something on the chat room. Is one of, and this is what I want you to put. Feelings buried alive never die. Feelings buried alive never die. Can you post that for me? You see, keeping the pain buried only causes more problems. Buried pain must come to the surface and be released, because pain indicates that you're still hurt, you're still angry, and laying right under the surface is bitterness. Buried pain must come to the surface and be released. You will release it one way, or the devil will work through it and release it in a very harmful way. Brothers and sisters, I want to share something with you. I was thinking about this yesterday, a few things that I saw happen. And I realized way back in 2012-13 that when I was ministering deliverance to a young man, I encountered this strong spirit of resistance in this young man. And when the demon finally manifested, it said, "I will not go." See, I'm not going anywhere. I said, "Okay." So I said, "Who are you?" And when that demon told me his name, I had forgot about this demon, to tell you the truth. It was 2013. But the Holy Spirit brought it back yesterday. You know what that demon said his name was? Put this in the chat room. The demon said his name was P-A-S-T, past. Past. Post that. The demon's name was past. And the demon said that its job was to keep the young man bound to his past so that he could not be successful in his Christian walk and in his future. You see, this particular young man had been through a divorce, and his past continued to haunt him because he had committed spiritual adultery, not adultery in the flesh. He had committed spiritual adultery. And as I was doing his deliverance, I saw all these wounds that had not healed. And I saw all these scars. And so I was looking, I was seeing in the spirit as I was ministering to him. And I said, "You got a lot of wounds." And you know what? What really, I saw pus and blood and green stuff and coming up out of these wounds. And the Holy Spirit said, "These wounds have been infected and have become the dwelling place of unclean spirits." You see, this young man, when I ministered to him, He had to be loosed not only from the demons, but he had to be loosed from the other people that had been a partaker of his sins in his past. He had all these spirits of control and manipulation working against him. And he had been in a gang. He had been in a gang, and he had picked up the domination, manipulation, and control. And so as I was ministering to him, I realized that all of these wounds and scars and all this infection and all that stuff had come when the trauma had come in and created severe mental and emotional stress on this man, and then it caused physical injury. Because he had some areas of pain that he just couldn't break. So I asked God, I said, now, where is this in the Bible? I mean, I could look at a lot of stuff. But the Lord said to me, and he brought it back, and I had to spend a lot of time finding this in all my work. This, you know. He said, remember when I taught you years ago about the Moabite curse? I said, but I thought that the Moabite curse manifested in a family line through familiar spirits when those who are supposed to build a platform under you for success doesn't let it happen. So I was saying, I thought, you know, the Moabite curse built its platform on that. The Holy Spirit said, no, it can range from benign neglect or through a child who has no emotional connection all the way to sexual abuse. And so I said, okay, you see, under this Moabite curse, what happens to you in this curse is not as significant to show you how to respond to what happens. But what I realized is that not everyone who has experienced this lack of support flounders. Like many people go on to flourish. But what the Holy Ghost was showing me was that a lot of people who are regarded as high achievers very often fit into this category of not having had support or enough support growing up. So I started reading what I had written back then. And so I'm going to share it with you. The story of Lot is an example of the Moabite curse in play. You see, after God had destroyed those cities before Lot, Lot shut down in himself, isolated himself and his family. And Lot subsequently failed to provide husbands for his daughters. They were isolated from community. There were no husbands around. So it forced his daughters to validate their father's bad choices with bad choices of their own. So this curse arose as a consequence of Lot's failure to build an empowerment platform under them. You can see this curse working in a lot of people's lives today. Many times when there is a divorce in the family, or one parent dies when the child is very young. But most times it's a parent when there is a divorce in the family, and the parent is so devastated that they are unable to effectively parent the child. So the child becomes the parent to the parent. Are you with me so far? Another way that Moabite curse comes in is when a child is born with physical deformities. Physical deformities. The parent overcompensates to the child and never builds an empowerment platform for the child. The door to the Moabite curse is opened where the one who is supposed to create platforms for another to empower ends up needing the empowerment from that person instead. Try to give you an example in a work situation. For example, the boss is damaged and cannot effectively build a platform for the employee to succeed. So the employee takes it upon himself or herself to build a platform for the boss to succeed. Now the curse comes into place here because the employee justifies his or her fixing abilities toward the very one that is supposed to fix him or her, instead of allowing the person in a higher position to turn to God for the fixing. Even if the fixing is not done with any bad intentionality, it is still not how God designed it to be, and therefore opens the woman or the man to the Moabite curse. You see, God himself wants to be the source of all to us. If we start to play God to other people instead of allowing them to go to God for their resources, we are in fact playing God to other people. The false identity statement of the Moabite curse is that I can build a platform for success under others, even though they are supposed to be building a platform for me. If you understand where I'm at, say yes in the chat room. This is called, write this down, a savior mentality. A savior mentality. The difference between being kind and helping someone and when it is out of God's design is when it is done out of fear, manipulation, or for any other reason than in obedience to a direct instruction from God's own Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me this morning? The manifestation of the Moabite curse is that time and time again, the authorities in your life will, for one reason or another, just not build a platform for success under you. Now, this could be your parents, your employer, your church leadership, but it is always in some form or another. There are authorities who are supposed to build a platform for success under you, and they don't do it, or they didn't do it. The cause of this curse is that either yourself or someone in your family line who took their freedom to help others in the wrong way when such freedom was not granted them by God, or they remained passive under bondage. You see, yesterday, I had to smile, I had to laugh. See, I don't have a savior mentality. I know who the savior is. I laughed because I heard Onita say, Erica said something strange, but Erica says strange things from time to time. I had to laugh. But what Onita said, I said was strange, was based on a biblical principle. And that biblical principle is this. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So when I'm getting ready to pray for somebody, I would like to know two things. One, you in agreement with me? And two, I know God ain't gonna tell you nothing about nobody else. Nothing. The only reason God got to tell you something about somebody else is they are either overlooking it, missing it, because God doesn't make us fortune tellers. So when I go to pray with somebody, I'm going to ask them, do you mind if I go to God? Because when you go to God, he's going to tell you something many times people don't want to hear. He's going to tell you something many times that the person has already been told, but they're overlooking it, don't want to hear it. But you can rest assured when I ask you if you will allow me to go to God, when he tells me something, I'm going to come back and say, but you agreed with me that I could go to God in prayer and ask him to reveal whatever this is. Then I've not violated God's law. I've not become nosy. And I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to control you. I only want to do what God needs done by me. Because I know if I'm in agreement with you and I'm in agreement with God, God has perfect freedom to move. And that had me thinking about this too. You see, in this underneath this Moabite curse, money is devoured before it even gets to you. Promises are continually broken. People in positions of authority over you sabotage you or undermine you. And what happens under this Moabite curse is you just can't get ahead. But once this particular curse is broken, you have secure boundaries, and you have the freedom to expand and move as God directs. Praise God. It is imperative that you're clear as a minister, as a leader, that you clear on those under your jurisdiction are empowered by you building platforms for them. Then the redemptive behavior of God will accelerate. And I know this. That's why I don't mind building a platform for somebody else. That's why I know that my primary responsibility is to invest in the people of God, empowering them. You see, there's a difference. Hear me this morning. Put this in the chat room. There's a difference between empowering and enabling. There is a difference between empowering and enabling. The behavior of the spirit-filled, blood-bought, blood-redeemed leader called by God is to exhibit righteous behavior to empower you and not to enable you. You see, enablement happens when you remove the pain of a person without removing the root cause of the behavior that caused the pain in the first place. This would include emotional comfort. Wait a minute. In enabling a person is when you remove the pain without removing the root cause of that behavior. Let me put it that way. Enabling is when you cast the demon out and tell the person back. If you don't deal with the root and the seed cause of that problem, when you don't deal with the truth in the areas that the person needs to change in their life, brothers and sisters, you have done nothing but cause a hidden door of entry for the demons operating in this curse to come back. However, if you empower the person by the power of the Holy Ghost, this is where you provide a permanent resource by the power of God, be it emotional or physical or spiritual. You provide the root base. You provide the platform that will facilitate them to step toward fixing the root cause of the problem. It's like you're at the place where you pass through that blessing of Hosea. Remember Hosea? And you dealt with your enabling in the past, and you come into agreement with the fact that whoever acted inappropriately didn't do it. Whoever should have created that platform for you didn't do it. You recognize the fact you had ground zero. I don't care how many times you read the Bible, you ain't never let the Bible read you. You see, when the Bible reads you, change is going to come. When the Bible reads you, you can see where the necessary change should be. When the Bible reads you, you will see the need. You will see your inappropriate behavior, inappropriate actions. You will see where you have only been enabled and not empowered. Because the person that was supposed to build a platform for you to partner with God and identify what the root issues are, what the seed to the problems are, failed you. They failed you. They enabled you with a temporary fix. And believe me, that's all some people want. And that's all they get. Your job, my job, as a witness, hallelujah, of the power of God, our job is to empower, not enable. In Genesis 19, about the two angels that came to Lot. Lot said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet. You shall raise up early and go on your way. They said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them. They turned into him and entered into his house. The Bible says he made them a feast. They ate. It said, but before they lay down, the men of Sodom, I'm talking about when they got to Lot's house, came from every quarter. They called unto Lot, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out, that we may know them. Lot said, do not do so wickedly. He said, I have two daughters. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you and do you them as is good in your eyes. Only these men do nothing. The people said, stand back. And they said, we're going to deal worse with you. The Bible says Lot came near to break the door, but the men, the angels of the Lord, put the men forth and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. And the angels of the Lord smote the men who were at the door with blindness, so that they couldn't even find the door. Then they asked Lot, who's here with you? Is there anybody else besides your son-in-law, your son, your daughter? Bring them out of this place. Take them out of this place. But we're going to destroy this place. Why? Because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went and spoke to his sons-in-laws. Get up. Get out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. But you know what? The Bible says he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It says, and when the morning came, the angels hastened Lot, arise. Take your wife, your two daughters, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. The Bible says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful, brought him forth and set him without the city and said, escape for your life. Escape for your life. Look not behind you and don't stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so. Thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Let me escape there, and my son shall live. And the angel said, I accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this little city. Haste, haste, for I cannot do anything till thou be come. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. Zoar. The Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. The Bible says in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. The Bible says that Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. But it also says here, Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. Remember the son-in-law? They mocked him. They were consumed in Sodom and Gomorrah. It said he dwelt in a cave. And the firstborn of his two daughters said, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come. Conspiracy. Let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. I think it's called incest. Incest. It doesn't matter. It's sin. We will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And she went in with him. Had sex with him. Okay? Then the other one said, last night, I laid with my father. Let's make him drunk again. They made their father drink that wine. Then the younger one lay with him. The Bible says, he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose, because Satan was at work. Satan was going to perpetuate incest throughout our generations. The Bible says, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Not only did they perpetuate incest, but something happens in the gene pool when it's that close. Close, you see many deformities. You see much mental retardation when it's that close. The Bible say, and the younger bare son named his name Ben-Ami. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. the platform. The platform, brothers and sisters. Exodus 33 and 10. Talk about the cloud. It said all the people saw the pillar of the cloud stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. But they got themselves into trouble for worshiping a golden calf. Now, they worship the presence of the Lord as signified by the pillar of the cloud wherein the Lord was residing. The Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Man speaks to his friend. And he returned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Aaron and Miriam later rebelled against Moses. And in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, the Lord said to those two, with Moses, I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently directly and clearly, and not in dark speeches, riddles. And the similitude image of the Lord shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? You see, look, brothers and sisters, those whom the Lord speaks directly to and those who are beholding his image are the ones that the Lord is referring to when he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The Bible says Joshua was now about 56 years old, young compared to Moses, who's about 81. Question, why did Moses select Joshua to be a servant? Why did Moses select Joshua to be a servant? Simple, because the Lord told him to. Because the Lord told him to. You see, the Lord saw Joshua's heart just as he saw David's heart and told Samuel to select and anoint him. The Lord sees all of our hearts, and therefore the Lord knows. He already knows who's going to fully seek him. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. Are you getting this? And you have also found grace, favor in my sight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Post this in the chat room. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 tells us that the Lord knows those that are his, those that have found favor in his sight, and he certainly knows their names. When Jesus called Mary by her name at the tomb, she knew it was the Lord because she knew his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And Moses had learned also the sound of God's voice. The very fact that not everyone has found favor in the Lord's sight proves that God's favor is not unmerited favor, but rather that some, not all, have merited his favor. The favor that Moses found in the Lord's sight was not unmerited favor. Get this. You got to get this. But it was a favor that Moses found by his obedience to the Lord. It was a favor that Moses found by his faith in the Lord and in his faithfulness to the Lord. I don't know where some people get this garbage from, that everybody is the same. No, not everybody has the same obedience to God. Nobody, not everybody has the same commitment to God. So why can't the unmerited favor be the same? It's not. God called John the beloved. Get this. If you don't get nothing else, the Bible says the Lord spoke directly, friendly, and openly with Moses. Just as he had done many years before with Abraham. God called Abraham friend. God called John the beloved. God said David was a man after his own heart. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 18:16, God said Abraham was his friend forever. Brothers and sisters, the Lord promises us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, my likeness, my image, there am I in the midst of them. Now, therefore, I pray you, if or since I have found great favor in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I might find great favor in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Moses knew more of God than any other man living. And the more a man knows of God, the more he desires to know God. I'm not talking about after the Son of Man, after the Son of God became the Son of Man, that's Jesus. I'm talking about a man. Moses knew that to know the ways of the Lord was to know the Lord. And to know the Lord was to find favor with the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? Favor with the Lord comes from knowing the ways of the Lord and then following his ways. Get this. It is not unmerited. Noah found favor with the Lord because he knew the ways of the Lord, and therefore he knew the Lord. Abraham found favor with the Lord because he knew the ways of the Lord, and therefore he knew the Lord. Jacob found favor with the Lord because he knew the ways of the Lord, and therefore he knew the Lord. In Psalm 103:7, we find the clear difference between Moses and the people he led through the wilderness. The Bible says, the Lord made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. That's the difference. Moses asked to know the ways of the Lord. But the children of Israel only asked for the Lord to act on their behalf for their benefit, having no desire to know the ways of the Lord. So Moses knew the ways or image of the Lord, but the people only knew the acts or works of the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, knowing the ways, the wherefores and the wheres of the Lord transforms a person into the image of Christ. Knowing his works has no eternal effect at all. Remember when I mentioned Lot's wife? When they were about to be rescued and they were leaving, she was told, don't look back. She looked back and she stayed right there. As she turned, the Bible said, She was turned into a pillar of salt. This was Lot's wife. She saw the angels. She saw the angels rescue them. She saw everything coming down. She heard the city falling apart. And she looked back. Why? It was because her heart was still there. Put this in the chat room. You can be around faith. You can hear faith. But you've got to get into faith yourself. You've got to enter into faith. It has to be settled within you. You have to possess faith. You've got to push into the things of God and then accept them. Period. I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning. There's a difference between being enabled and empowered. God's way is to empower you. The world's way is the temporary way to enable you. But guess what? You have to make the choice. Ain't nobody gonna force nothing down your throat. You have to make a choice. If all you want is temporary enablement, get it and get on. But if you want to be empowered by God, you're gonna have to pay the price. I just posted some pictures on my wall. Freedom is not free. Some pictures. One is Dr. Martin Luther King. One is Rosa Parks. And another one, brothers and sisters, is Malcolm X. Freedom is not free. So it makes me happy. You want to be enabled? You want to just get the fix, feel good? Then that's okay. But just don't be hindering nobody else. Make your decision, stick to it, and move on. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God in spirit, in obedience, and in truth as we know it. Not saying anybody is perfect. In truth as we know it. Favor with God is obtained by obedience to God. Brothers and sisters, I guess that's all I have to say this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. You want to know why you're not seeing the witness of God like we should? It costs you something. It costs you to get loose from every chain of the devil. It costs you to have to bury your past. Once you honestly and truthfully look at it, once you honestly and truthfully look at what's binding you up, what has you all scarred, what has you all wounded, what has you at the drop of the hat, triggered, get over it. God has provided the way. God has provided the way for you to grow off your little diapers. Stand up and walk in truth and in freedom. get rid of those demons binding you through rebellion. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. Favor with God. Merited favor is obtained by obedience to God and empowerment from God. It's up to you. If you don't get the inner man straight, that you don't have a chance.
Of the hero in you.
You want merited favor and unmerited favor. Unmerited favor is called grace. Unmerited favor is called grace. Merited favor goes beyond grace and mercy. Look, I have a little thing I usually do when I teach this. If you want me to do it, if you want to experience it, I will. If not, I'll see you tomorrow. What would you like? Post it in the chat room. It's a little thing I do. Because a lot of this here stuff is in your neck. And it's in your shoulders. Okay. That's what I want you to do. Place your hands on your neck. Both of them. Where that you have a natural C curve. Where the brain stem rests at the top of the spine. Place your hands on your neck where the curve is. Okay? Put your right hand on the right side, your left hand on the left side, with your fingers touching right smack dab in that C curve. Now what you do, in the name of Jesus, you have to do it. Command any and all trauma, pain, from your acceptance of enabling to get out your neck, any trauma resting right there in the C-curve, command it to go. Go! Go! Any transferring spirits of trauma, pain, scarring, wounding, from enabling, go! Command it to go. If you push your fingers up, you'll feel that little bend right there at the base of your skull. Put your finger right there. Go. Command it to go. Go. Any PTSD, all trauma from enabling. Go. Get out. You command it to go. Command your C-curve to be restored in the name of Jesus. Command heaviness off your shoulders. Go! Come out of your rotator cuff. Go! Come out your rotator cuff. That's on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Go! Now thank the Lord for healing you. Ask the Lord to restore you to wholeness. And thank him. Move your shoulders around. Up like, you know, like bird wings. Yeah, it should be gone. Praise God. Praise God. God want to make you a witness. Will you let him? Some people don't want to be.
I'm with you. am I ever